I want to talk just a few minutes about having a firm foundation. Now, you know, we say this all the time, but if you have read the Word, you understand it. We are living in the last days. The things that the Word of God talks about for the last days, you can see happening right before your very eyes. And, you know, time, you know, things are changing and stuff is being shifted around. And this is in every area: governments, economics, business, financial, medical, social, religious realms. In all of these areas, things are moving and changing. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you might hear about some events a few hours later, sometimes a day later. And, you know, now news is being updated every minute on that thing you got in your hand that called your phone. It's actually more than a phone. It's actually a computer. Hello? You know, everything is shifting and changing at a fast pace. But, you know, Jesus talked about the uncertainty of the last days. Now, let's look at Matthew 24:4. We'll look at that. Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." Now let's look at Luke 21:25-26. "There will be signs in the sun and in the moon, in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexities of the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the power of the heavens will be shaken." And then we look at what Paul says. Paul warns us of winds of doctrine that some will teach that will make us unstable and vulnerable and actually taken advantage of in Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, it's in times like these that we need to make sure that we have a firm foundation, immovable in our lives, solid, firm, immovable foundation. Do you understand that? Actually, look in the Word of God, and there are many places where a foundation is needed. You know what? God's throne has a foundation. Psalms 89:14. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." Psalms 97:2. "Clouds and darkness surrounded him. Righteous and justice are the foundation of his throne." You know, the earth has a foundation. Psalms 102:25. "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are works of your hands." And then, talking about foundation, Solomon's temple had a foundation. 2 Chronicles 3:3. "This is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by cubits according to the former measure, and the width was 20 cubits." Now let's read that from the NLT. We might understand it a little better. "These are the dimensions Solomon used for the foundation of the temple of God, using the old standard of measurement, it was 90 feet long and 30 feet wide. This church needed a foundation. And it went down to, some of the engineers said blue shale was enough, but it went, Mr. Harrison said, we're going to brown shale. And actually, we haven't had any foundational troubles. But if you look across the street at that student housing, if you'll go behind the student housing and those houses back there, everyone, just about every one of them, has had foundational problems because it's clay. And clay moves when it's wet and when it's dry. This, we built the foundation for this. We took out over 3 feet of topsoil out of this, off of this ground. And how many of you here when we were building the building? Okay, I got some hands up. Any of you ever heard of Hagen's Mountain? That's what they called it, because there was a pile of dirt, and I mean it was a big pile of dirt. And then we had to bring in different kind of soil, and we had to go through a process to build a foundation. Having the right foundation determines if your house is not going to sink one side or the other. You know what causes cracks in sheetrock? Many times it's because one side of the house sinks, the other doesn't, and it causes a problem. But you know what? This is something we need to be concerned about in our Christian life also. To build a solid, firm, immovable foundation so that we can endure till Christ returns. Now, I want to look at three different parts of our foundation. Number one, build your foundation on God's unchanging word. Now, I didn't have time to get all of the fancy deals to put up, so you'd have to write it, just remember it. Build your foundation on God's unchanging word. Peter said we're born again by the incorruptible, immortal, permanent word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. God never changes. His word never changes. He's not coming out with a revised edition or an updated version. His word will be the same from the beginning to the end. It will never change. The word of God is sufficient for all times, for all generations, and every situation. Now, we have to hold on to the major fundamental doctrines of the Bible. You know, through the years, of course, talking to Dad about this, he said some people get all hooked on different things, but he said, stay with the simple foundations of the Word of God. Many of you have heard him in person, and many of you only heard him on a tape or a CD. But he didn't get involved with any other. He stayed directly with what the Word said. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of element, the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and the faith of God. The doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of dead, of eternal judgment. Now these are the doctrines that we repentance, foundation, doctrine of baptisms. I want you to know it, baptisms. Water baptism and being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. Now I want to tell you what. You can start talking about all these other doctrinal foundations, but don't talk about eternal judgment. That's not popular anymore. When it's talking about eternal judgment, it's either talking about you're going to be judged and be in heaven, or you're going to be judged and you're going to be in hell. Period. That's the doctrine of eternal judgment in its simplest form. Now, you can get into all of the theological situations and use all the theological terms, but sometimes I think you get so wrapped up in the terminology that you forget the message that you're trying to deliver. These are foundational doctrines from the Bible, and they're emphasized throughout the whole Bible. These doctrines provide a solid foundation for our faith in God. Okay? You know, all the time you'll see someone coming out with this new doctrine. It's supposed to be the greatest revelation directly from God. Now, many of you are younger, and so you don't remember this, but if you'll remember going back into the 70s and 80s, all these people were on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Anybody ever watch that back in those days? How many of you ever remember people coming out with all kinds of different things? Let me see your hand. And they sounded good and so forth, but you don't even hear anything about it now. Hello, come on, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. You know, often we'll tell you that this is the one thing that you need that's going to really make you successful. Or they'll say, this is the new, quick way for the blessings of God. Let me tell you what. There's only one way to the blessings of God. And that's what this word says right here. Hello. See, we've got to hold on to our foundations. You know, these things are, I don't know, fads, I guess. I don't know. You know, I mean, some people try to build a doctrine on the many different revivals that we've had, outpourings of the Spirit. And I want you to notice they're of God, but they are not to build doctrine on. Come on. Everybody talks about a Holy Ghost meeting. Well, And to them, a Holy Ghost meeting is running, shouting, jumping, dancing, and all that sort of thing. Well, that may be so, okay. Now I'm gonna get a lot of disagreement on that. That's all right. It's your privilege. I'll tell you the truth, and you can believe it, or you don't have to believe it. But through the years, I've seen all of this. I've talked to Dad about it. And he said, what people need to realize is these are just moves of God that are meant for a certain area for certain times. Through the years, I've seen some of these things being poured out. And they will take that, and then they'll try to take that revival to another city, and it didn't work. Come on now. I could call the names of them, but I don't want to call them the names. I don't want to do that. Hello. You know what? When I was a freshman in Bible college, September 58, graduated from high school in May of 58 and was a freshman of Bible college in September of 58. There was a guy that come through Dallas with a tent. And I mean, everybody was enamored with him. And I went with a bunch of the guys from school. We all went up there to Dallas. And Walks Hatch is where Southwestern was. Now it's called Nelson University. That's 22 miles south of Dallas on old Highway 77, which would be Interstate 35 now. But anyway, I mean, he had people that were coming up, and they had supposed to have been blood flowing out of their hands, and this one lady is supposed to have a cross with blood on it, on her forehead, and all that. I went up there with these guys, and of course, being raised by my dad, I sat there and I said, I don't know whether this is God or not, but this is not in the Bible. Now, you see, your foundation is the Bible, the Word of God. And I've seen all these things happen that's not in the Word of God. Some of them were exposed as frauds later on, you know. But in Ephesians, Paul warns us in 4:14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever they sound like the truth. You know, I've noticed that most of these so-called new doctrines only last for a little while, and then nobody talks about them anymore. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'm either telling the truth or stepping on toes and something, and they don't like it. But I don't know whichever it is, I'm going to keep going anyway. Okay? We build the doctrines of the Word of God into our life and nothing else. Not because it's a great sounding thing, not because it's a denominational creed, not because it come from one of the lost books, the Apocrypha, or any other writings. No, it's not what we think, it's what the Bible says. I could call an individual's name, and some people in this crowd would know that name, so I won't do it. But there was an individual, and he's in heaven now, praise the Lord. But in the latter part of his life, he got off because he wasn't popular anymore. So he was trying to come up with a new doctrine. And he came up with, we don't need to pray in Jesus' name. And that is, Jesus himself established that doctrine when he said, "You up until now, you haven't asked anything in my name. After I'm gone, you will ask the Father in my name and he will give it to you." How much clearer can it be? Now, when you begin to hear these people coming up, and I may have to finish this the next time I preach on Wednesday night, because I'm not getting through it very fast. I'm only on page 12, and I think I got 20 pages here. But anyway, we have to realize that just because something sounds good, or because something, and I've seen this happen in as I've grown up. I've been in this all my life. I've seen this happen, and that just because somebody said it that had a reputation. And I think I was about 15, 16, and we went to some meeting with my dad, and this preacher had, renowned preacher, he got up and he was saying some things. And I mean, we were sitting pretty close to the front in the middle of the place. And I looked over at Dad, and I could see he had sort of a scowl on his face. And he looked at me, and he just shook his head, and I didn't say anything. After it was over, I said, "Dad, What in the world was going on? He said, "Ah, he's off base because he's losing his popularity, and he's trying to." It was a fairly famous guy, but he's losing his popularity, and he's not being asked to speak in the conventions like he used to be, and so forth, because we were in a denomination at that time. And so he's trying to come up with something that will make him different, will lift him back up where he used to be. You see, my dad always taught this. He said, stay with the word, preach the word, and no matter whether they want to hear it or don't want to hear it, if you'll stay with the word, you'll always be on the right course. And there sits Craig that traveled with him from the time he was a teenager till he went home to be with the Lord, and there sits Denise, and she was in it, been in many, many of his meetings. And you know what? He never tried to come up with a new doctrine. He preached the same thing, and yet he was very, very sought after as a speaker to come to conventions and so forth and so on. Am I right, family? How many of the church know that I'm right in that? But you ever notice he never come up with no new doctrine? Huh? There sat Cheryl Piper back there. She was his secretary for a number of years. He teach the same thing. I can go to his office. It's still the way it was. The last day he walked out of it, and to this day I still can't do anything with it. It's exactly like it was. And I can go into his office, and I can pull out of a cabinet. Filing cabinet, and you can go down. Craig's been there and looked at it. I mean, Denise has too. And you can go right down. Authority of the believer, right and wrong thinking. And you just go right down the list. And they're all in books out there, but that's what he would preach and teach. And he taught some of it, but then he would keep teaching it. Hello? You see, the foundational doctrines never change, and the more you hear them, the more they will benefit you. Because if you let the Holy Spirit come and direct you, he will show you something different. Come on now. See, we need to be sure we stay on immovable doctrines of the Word of God. Paul warned us of a time when many people won't hear the teaching today. 2 Timothy 4:3 is very prevalent in the world we live in today. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Teachers that are saying what they want to hear. You know, some people only want to hear. They're okay as long as you're hearing about the promises of God and all of receiving all these blessings. But you start telling them what the Word of God says about doing this. This is what you're supposed to do. And one of the areas would be in giving of your time, talent, and money yourself. Well, let's look at this. You know, people will shout about triumphing over the enemies, but they sure do shut down when you start telling them the Bible says to pray for their enemies. We got a lot of people that are in that category right now. As long as you're talking to them about financial blessings, wah! But you're talking to them about starting to live right, love your neighbor as yourself, give, not because you want to get, but because you love God and you're giving because the Word of God says it. Come on, Pastor, you're doing really good right now. The only way that we can maintain a solid Christian life is to stay with the foundational doctrines of the Word of God. I want to do a little demonstration here. Okay, I want this usher, do good. Y'all come up here. Where's some more guys? I want some more guys to come up here. Yeah, come on up here. Hey, some more guys. Come, no, don't you come up here. I want you right here. No. Over here, right here. Get against the platform. Yeah, there you go, Jay. Come on up. Just stand right here. No, y'all stay here. In this part, turn around. Put your hands on this platform. All right. Okay. Now, Tristan and I need some more guys from the middle here. Come here. All right. Come on. I need some more guys to come up here. Hey, William, come on up here. Hey, you two guys, come up here. It's good. Get over here. Get a hold of this. All right. Now, I need some guys to come over here. Blake, Skyler, Don, Rod, Greg, Tad, y'all come right here. Marvin, you can come up here, too. I didn't see you there. All right. Now, I want some guys from... Some of you guys right in here and over here, come up against this platform and put your hands against the platform. All right. This platform is my foundation. I'm standing on my foundation, and we're going to call it the Word of God. This platform is turned into the Word of God. Okay? Now, the devil will bring in his demons, will come and put pressure on you. They'll bring fear, temptation, affliction, all kinds of stuff. Now, y'all try to push this foundation down. Hey, I want you to notice, they can't move it. Hello? That's exactly the way it works. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for doing this. That's exactly the way it works when you are doctrinally, foundationally correct. That's the way it works in your life. Sometimes, if you'll check up, if something's not working right, it's because you have let up on a part of your foundation. See, a part of this foundation of this building was simply taking that dirt out and putting new dirt in. Another part of it was drilling piers and pouring them full of concrete with a bunch of rebars that were about that big around, and they were all put together and wired together and stud. And some of them were 36 feet deep. That is the foundation that holds this building. Now, we built a good foundation. This building was built strong. How many of you remember in 2000 and what year? 10, wasn't it? We had that heavy snow, and it blew all of that snow on the back roof back there, and it was over 6 feet high on that roof. And part of just a couple of purlins up there in the ceiling gave way. But nothing else happened around the building because it had a strong, firm foundation. It couldn't push it, any of it down. There were other buildings that the roofs fell in because the snow was on top of. How many remember that? See, your foundation, and it's time to quit, and I'm just at point number two. Would it be all right with y'all? The next time I preach on Wednesday night, that I pick up on this. All right? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, please. If you sing it, we'll have to sing it again, but we'll sing it, okay? I had them to, I thought I'd be finished with it. I had them wanting to sing a certain song, but we'll sing it again when I finish next time. All right, let's go.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking,
together. I didn't think I would get that so involved, but it's such a vital part of our Christianity is a firm foundation. Many of you probably have known people because they didn't have a strong foundation. When some little something come against them, they dropped out. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, Sister Everland, you know. It's sort of like playing football. A lot of guys are really interested in playing football until you start the tackling the program. You gotta run through this line and try not to get tackled. I don't know how they do it nowadays, but when I was playing, you had a guy in front of you that's going to block this guy over here, and you got to try to run around, and you had a linebacker over there, and you got to try to not get tackled. You get hit pretty hard. And I've seen some guys, after they did that drill, they decided, hey, coach, I don't think I want to play football, and they go turn their pads in. Hello. You know what? If we're not firm in what we believe, the same thing will happen to us. That's why I'm talking about this firm foundation. Hallelujah. If you happen to be with us tonight, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, you don't. That's the first part of getting the firm foundation. Or you know what it is to serve Him, but you've turned your back and you've gone away and you need to come and rededicate. The ladies are over here. The men are over here. As we're dismissed, you come down and pray with them and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, or any reason, come to these people, these prayer partners, and they will minister to you tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'll see you right here Sunday morning. It's Mother's Day, remember? Come. God bless. We'll see you.